Home for the holidays is not just a sentiment for a greeting card or the title of a song. For many of us, it's the only way to spend the holidays. But for thousands of people this year, Hurricane Katrina means that they have lost their home. And nowhere is that more apparent than with the people of New Orleans.
Yvonne Ferrari. Home is the people that live in it. Because you can have a house, beautiful things. Material things don't mean anything to me. It's the people. And we have all our people, thank God. Nobody was lost, you know.
Hope held. You don't realize how much your home means to you until you don't, you can't live in it and you don't have it anymore. And you don't realize what it means to you until you don't.
My name is Sister Barbara Hughes. I'm a sister of St. Joseph.
Home is more than just a house. What I have identified as home has been the city. It has been our central convent, which was out near the lake. But the home that I've known as this city is very different.
This half hour, we're going to meet four families who've been displaced because of Hurricane Katrina. Some of them found shelter as far away as Chicago. Others are very close. The Cowans of Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, lost their house in August when Katrina hit. They are still living very close by, in a trailer on the land where their house once stood. NPR's David Shaper visited them and has this story.
Just 30 or 40 feet off the Bay St. Louis waterfront at 1000 Beachfront Drive sits a travel trailer, the top decorated with simple white Christmas lights. This is home now for Lisa Cowan, her husband, and their 13-year-old son. It's a tiny, tight space. Some friends are over, and her husband isn't interested in being interviewed.
Y'all want me to take them outside? So would you rather me do? Y'all can visit.
So Cowan steps outside into the cool evening air.
Actually, I live down the street. This was our family home.
She's standing in what was the front yard of the historic house she had just purchased from her mother. She and her husband were preparing to move here from their own home a few blocks inland, right before Katrina hit. All that's left now are the concrete steps leading up to the concrete slab of what Cowan says was a grand front porch overlooking the bay.
Mm-hmm. It had big white columns and big white railings all around it. And we had a beautiful gazebo over here and with a big spiral roof. And it was just a fun, beautiful home. A lot of great memories here growing up. It was just a gathering place. My dad he didn't know any strangers. Everybody was always welcome. And
the storm not only destroyed this home, but also the house her family was moving from just a few blocks away.
We had 25 feet of water there, so we got double whammied. Actually, we got quadruple whammied because my son, he has a home 6 blocks away, and there's not a whisper there.
In all, the Cowan family lost 4 homes in Bay St. Louis and Waveland. Now they have 4 FEMA trailers set up next to one another in a family compound of sorts.
That's one good thing for the holidays, to have all my children back home, so they're all together.
Cowan says the hurricane put everything into perspective, including the meaning of home.
Because, you know, we don't have our safe haven, if you will, you know, where there's no place like home. But you know, the logistics are different, but, we're all here together and we were safe, and it is different. And it's not all cheery and fun, but, you know, my dad taught me to, when you get lemons, you make lemonade. So we got a lot of lemons to work with right now.
Cowan says that means digging through the rubble of the family homes every now and then, trying to find homemade ornaments or other meaningful decorations and family mementos, very few of which she's been able to recover.
It's almost like you go through a process. You know, you put it in a pile and there's a possibility you could salvage it, and then 2 weeks later it's disintegrating in front of your eyes. So you lose it anyway, but I guess it's just a process you've got to go through. And so I'm still going through that. I'll go over there and dig a little bit. And my second story is still standing, and it's a little cattywampus, but it's standing, and it's different.
Different, and during the holidays, more difficult.
It is, but it isn't. But it is what it is, so take one day at a time, and we'll get through this. I'm sorry.
Everyone's healthy, together.
Main thing, we could have been swallowed up. We lost a lot of our citizens, and so right there, we could have had, this is fixable, losing a loved one, isn't it? so.
For Cowand and her family, this piece of land right on the bay is still home.
Oh, always. This will be home forever. I'm not going anywhere. It's where I belong. This is where my family belongs. And we just got to just do things a little differently.
Like putting her Christmas tree up on that slab that was the front porch, and decorating a fenced-in area for her dogs with garland and lights all around it. And later this week, Cowan says they will ring in the new year just as the family always has.
Yeah, we have a New Year's Eve party every year, and we won't be as grandiose as what we... Well, it's never grandiose, but it's a lot of fun, and a lot of people come, but we don't... we're not up to that one, but... And plus, the bathroom facilities don't accommodate too many in those RVs, but...
A party to make new memories while looking forward to better things, like building a new home in Bay St. Louis. David Shaper, NPR News.
The Cowand family may be without their house, but they've spent the holidays on their land in their neighborhood. The Sawyer family of New Orleans East was more dispersed by Katrina. They live on Honeysuckle Lane, a street that we've been following over the past few months. Martin Sawyer Jr. is renting a house in Kenner, Louisiana nowadays, and he joins us from our bureau in New Orleans. Welcome to the program. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you.
And how are you doing?
I guess as well as can be expected, you know, considering.
You and your wife, daughter, and is it your father all live together on Honeysuckle Lane?
Right. That's correct.
And the house in New Orleans East, what's the condition of it now?
Right now it's fully gutted. All the appliances and fixtures are all taken out now.
How does this experience of Katrina figure in what the family does and what you talk about when you're all together for the holidays? Do you just try to keep it out of mind and not talk about it, or do you find yourselves talking about it quite a lot?
Well, no, we try to not talk about it unless we have to. It's just at those times when we do have new information that we discuss it, but otherwise we try to keep all the forms of normalcy and keep it sort of behind us right now.
So a challenge at Christmas to try to have a normal Christmas for your daughter, you say, under these circumstances.
Well, for her, she had a wonderful Christmas. We made sure of that, so that part was pretty easy for us.
Your daughter's name, and how old is she?
Her name is Amira Marie Sawyer, and she's 2 years old.
She's 2 years old.
Yeah.
Was your daughter at age two, or I guess she was only one and a half a few months ago, was she aware of what was going on and the whole point of this move and leaving the house and going to Kenner to live in an apartment?
Well, I don't, you know, when we first left the city, we ended up in Baton Rouge for a couple of weeks and then in Hammond for the duration. And just recently we moved to Kenner, which put us a lot closer to the city. During that time, we did the best that we can to make sure that she didn't feel any major change. I don't think she's, you know, fully aware of what's going on, and I think we did a pretty decent job of keeping some normalcy in her life.
What kind of a place are you living in now?
It's an apartment complex, a small apartment complex out in Kenner, which is an adjacent city to New Orleans.
Kenner's really just west outside the city. This is where the airport is.
Right,
so.
Right.
But if you had the choice right now of where you are or in a trailer in front of your own house with utilities connected, which would you prefer?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Robert. I would love to be in front of my home, being there to get it rebuilt and taken care of. And where we are now is safe for my daughter, mm-hmm. if I may say, because right now we still don't know 100% what the environmental issue is. Just because they would put a trailer there doesn't mean that, you know, it's all safe and good. So it's kind of tough to say. I would rather stay where we are in the apartment until we know for sure, you know, that area is safe.
Is it clear to you that the point of rebuilding is so that you and the family can all move back and resume life on Honeysuckle Lane in New Orleans East, or might it be to sell the house and make your life somewhere else?
Well, it would be to move back into New Orleans East. Mm-hmm. Not that I wouldn't, you know, move my family somewhere else if conditions are so deplorable that we cannot move back. But for starters, you know, which is very, very important, is the funding to get started on shoring up the levees for next hurricane season. You know, secondly, schools. That's very important, you know, the fundings for schools.
If there isn't that assurance that the levees are going to be built to withstand a good storm, that it's going to be done, if there aren't schools opening up anywhere nearby Honeysuckle Lane soon, does there reach a point when you say, well, that was, you know, that was that chapter of our lives, and goodbye New Orleans East, or goodbye Honeysuckle Lane?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be the only prudent thing to do. I mean, you have to look out for your family and your family's well-being as well as yourself. And if conditions doesn't seem like it's improving, the best thing to do is to, you know, stay out of that area and make a new home somewhere else, definitely.
Well, Mr. Sawyer, thank you very much for talking with us today.
And thank you for having me.
Happy holidays.
Same to you. Thank you.
Tens of thousands of Hurricane Katrina evacuees from the Gulf Coast fled to Houston in August and September. Nearly 4 months later, many are calling Houston home. And many are grateful to that city's black churches for providing shelter from the storm and the support to begin rebuilding their lives. NPR's Carrie Kahn has the story of one woman, her church, and the new city that she is beginning to call home.
I met Dionne Coleman in September as she walked out of a Sunday service at New Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church on Houston's southeast side. Coleman, a stout woman in her mid-40s, recovering from years of drug addiction, was tightly clutching her 5-year-old son's hand. She was distraught, distant, and harsh. It had been barely a week since the two had been bussed from New Orleans Superdome to Houston's Astrodome. During the chaotic evacuation, she was separated from her 14-year-old Carl. That's when Mount Calvary and its pastor, Ronald Smith, stepped in. Smith met Coleman at the Astrodome, took her to the church, and finally found her son, Carl. Then Smith and the church got working on Dionne Coleman's healing.
I went to the living room.
4 months later, that work has paid off. Coleman is living in a new apartment in Houston. It has no furniture, but she says it's great.
We need a lot of stuff here. You see it? Need a lot of stuff.
Coleman moved into her new 2-bedroom apartment just last week. It's empty except for a TV on a box in the corner and mattresses on the floor of each room. She says she wouldn't have this home today if it wasn't for Mount Calvary.
I probably was still out there lost. Can't find my boy still. I don't know where I'll be at. Because I was really messed up when I met them. You know, I was really messed up. I don't know where I'll be at now. I really don't know.
Coleman says it was hard to leave the church. Hard for everyone.
They didn't want me to go. Pastor didn't want me to go. He like, I said, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go. And me and him, I go walk around the corner looking for the house, trying to find the house. He didn't want to let me go. I said, Pastor, I got to get up out of here. D, where you going? D, where you going? You play too much. I said, I ain't going too far.
She didn't go too far. Her apartment is about a mile from the church and walking distance to a small business owned by one of the reverends at Mount Calvary, Byron Jones.
It all started with a cell phone.
Oh, Lord.
It really did. It all started with a cell phone.
Jones stands at the counter at his Houston store where he sells cell phones alongside everything from movies to motor scooters. He recalls when Coleman first arrived at the church. She asked him for a phone to help in the search for her son. Jones says that was his in, and he slowly got her to talk about the storm, her past, and her fears.
I told her, you know, you just got to step out there and know that just being isolated at the church, you're limiting folk that you get the chance to meet, friends that you can meet, you know, to make a new home. And so it took a while, but she did.
Dionne Coleman says Reverend Jones rings her every morning, gets her day going. She calls him Uncle and his wife Auntie. Mandy Jones says she likes the title. She says she's so grateful that Coleman is finally adapting to Houston.
Now she's moving around. She's out catching a bus. Dionne catching a bus in Houston.
No.
And she goes shopping. At Fiesta Market, Dionne Coleman grabs the daily specials flyer, advertising a Louisiana section for all the new customers.
Pickle chip tips. Oh, they got some pickle tips. Let me see.
Pickled pig tips and tails gets Coleman rushing to the meat department, but what she finds is disappointing.
The same thing.
No. Tails have fat on them. Tips don't have no fat on them.
She tells the clerk the tips are too fatty and there aren't any tails. So she shifts gears and grabs some crab, shrimp, gizzards, and sausage to make a pot of gumbo. Pastor Ronald Smith says he brags about Coleman's gumbo to other preachers who housed Katrina evacuees. Smith heads Mount Calvary Church and easily slips between the serious and silly when reflecting on having Coleman in his life now.
Dealing with so withdrawn, stayed to herself in her room. You can pay her to have a conversation. But now we can't pay her to keep quiet.
The two laugh, eat gumbo, and talk God late into the night. They have a special bond, and an easiness now neither said they could have imagined 4 months ago. With these new friendships and a new apartment, Dion Coleman says she just doesn't know if she's going to return home to New Orleans.
I'm kind of like in between. I don't know. See, I'm in between. I want to go home, and I want to be here, and I don't know what. Maybe if I get myself together here, you know, everything might be all right.
What she does know, she says, is she's got a family in this little corner of Houston, unlike any she's had before. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.
Next, we meet Ronnie Calero, who's a long way from home and loving it. He is 13 years old, and he came to Chicago with his brother and sister and grandfather a couple of weeks after Katrina hit his hometown of Kenner, Louisiana. But not everybody in the family has adjusted to life in their new home in the North as well as Ronnie has. Chicago Public Radio's Robert Wildebohr reports on the Calero family and how some of them are more comfortable being in Chicago, while others want to get back to Louisiana as soon as possible.
Ronnie Calero loves his new school, and school's your entire universe when you're 13.
Here, like, the principal and the assistant principal know all the kids' names. Like, they can point you out and tell you your name back home. It wasn't like that.
He likes the kids here, too.
Jackson, the weirdest things with his body. Do the eye thing.
Ronnie's sitting with his friends in his homeroom, munching on a sandwich while trying to finish up some math homework. His homeroom teacher, Mary Krebs, says Ronnie's fit in well, but there was a period of culture shock for both Ronnie and the 1,000 students at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic School.
You know, when he first came in, he would say hi to everyone in the building. You know, hey, hi, how are you, blah, 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 you know, to the nurse, to the secretary, to the principal. And, you know, we just kind of had to kindly remind him, you know, we love your enthusiasm, we love your friendliness, you know, but these are the ways that we would say hello here. You know, up in Glenview and pretty much in the north.
Glenview is an upscale suburb on Chicago's North Shore. It's not actually on the lake, but in Chicago, North Shore doesn't refer to geographic location so much as it does attitude and social status. 5 years ago, the median home value in Glenview was $336,000. That's a far cry from Ronnie's home in Kenner, where he shared the living room of his grandparents' house with his brother. He says they would use a sheet to divide the room in two. He's still living with his grandparents, only now it's at Maryville Academy, a vacant residential facility for troubled kids. The bucolic 100-acre campus may be a great home for boys, but it doesn't suit Ronnie's grandfather, James Calero, very well. He sits on a bunk bed and looks at the pond and fields outside his window.
Well, it's just bleak. I mean, it's just this vast expanse of snow.
The Caleros have a second-floor apartment in one of the brown townhouse-like buildings that dot the campus. The oversized dining room, thin carpeting, and modest furnishings give the place an unmistakable institutional feel. But Ronnie doesn't mind. In fact, he wants to stay in Chicago permanently. His grandfather, James, does not.
It means I long to be in Louisiana and see my house and my friends and familiar places. I miss the familiar.
James Caleros tried to surround himself with familiar things, but when he fled Katrina with his young grandchildren, his car was too full to bring his wife, let alone a whole bunch of stuff. But his prized possessions are displayed on his dresser, which has become a sort of shrine to the South. It's draped in a Confederate flag. And on top, holding the flag in place, is a large Bible, a crucifix, and a statue of the Archangel Michael. A singer-songwriter, Claro also took his $2,000 Guild guitar.
When I came home this morning, a letter was waiting for me. And it read, I'm leaving you, darling. My train leaves town at 3:00, and that train...
it's gone.
Sandra, James Calero's wife of 40 years and the mother of his 7 children, says her husband is longing for things that no longer exist. She was in New Orleans when the storm hit and didn't get to Chicago until a month later. She says familiar places and streets were destroyed by Katrina.
He's remembering it in his mind's eye the way it was before he left. When he goes back and sees it barren, you know, it looks like a war-torn country.
James Calero says they'll stay in Chicago until June so the kids can finish off their school year. 13-year-old Ronnie's working on a plan to stay longer.
I wish there was like a program where a kid from the school, his family, would adopt me, but I doubt that that'll happen.
James Calero hopes his grandson gets his wish. But for himself, he's anxious to get back to the South. He puts a CD into the small boombox on his bedside table. It's an 11-track album he wrote and recorded for free at different studios between 1984 and 1998. The first track is Steamy Days and Dreamy Nights in New Orleans. For NPR News, I'm Robert Wildebohr in Chicago.
Our coverage of the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina continues online. You can read about going to school in a tent in Waveland, Mississippi at npr.org.